So this is the history of Mother's Day, a day of peace as envisioned by our own Julia Ward Howe. Arise then, women of this day. Arise, all women who have hearts, whether our baptism be that of water or of tears. We women of one country will be too tender of those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure theirs. From the bosom of the devastated earth, a voice goes up with our own. It says, disarm, disarm. The sword of murder is not the balance of justice. Too few of us are aware that early advocates of Mother's Day in the United States originally envisioned it as a day of peace, to honor and support mothers who lost sons and husbands to the Civil War. In 1870, nearly 40 years before it became an official U.S. holiday, in 1914, social justice advocate Julia Ward Howe issued her inspired Mother's Day proclamation, which called upon mothers of all nationalities to band together to promote the amicable settlement of international questions, the great and general interest of peace. Julia was a prominent American abolitionist, a feminist, a poet, and the author of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. She nursed and tended the wounded during the Civil War and worked with the widows and orphans of soldiers on both sides of the war, realizing that the effects of the war go far beyond the killing of soldiers in battle. The devastation she witnessed during the Civil War inspired her to call out for women to rise up through the ashes of devastation, urging a Mother's Day dedicated to peace. As the call for a Mother's Day carried on, it gained new momentum and finally became a national holiday. While Mother's Day has presently lost much of its early edge for justice, it's important to note some of the underpinning intentions and to recommit ourselves to its call. At a time when our country is again engaged in devastating and costly wars abroad, and many of our own communities are being torn apart by violence, it is time for Mother's Day to return to its roots. There is no need more urgent than addressing the devastation brought on by violence in all of its forms, affecting the lives of untold millions in our nation and around the world. Then we may finally see all this devastation, all this violence, all this war abroad and in our communities fade away into its own history. Mothers are powerful, and we're also vulnerable in having something precious to protect. And mamas can't always protect their children from harm. Making the decision to have a child is momentous, says writer Elizabeth Stone. It is to decide forever to have your heart go walking around outside of your body. In 1870, Julia Ward Howe wanted to harness that power, the power of this love, to create lasting change in the world. With the air still thick with the sorrow and destruction of the American Civil War, Howe's response to news of fighting in Europe was understandably one of horror. As a well-known poet, abolitionist, and activist for the rights of women, she put her passion into words, publishing her appeal to womanhood, which would go on to be known as the Mother's Day Proclamation. Arise, all women who have hearts, whether your baptism be that of water or of tears. Our sons shall not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity, of mercy, of patience. We women of one country will be too tender of those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure there. We now look not to the past, but to the world around us and to our own stories of family, of motherhood, or lack thereof. A mother's personal grief will always be exactly that in its sorrow and loneliness. But it may also be a powerful tool to create movements to save those who can still be saved. Let us look to a new Mother's Day proclamation to embrace the needs of our times. Now we embrace all of the aspects of motherhood beyond the hallmark exterior and surface. There is sometimes grief, fear, regret. Not always. Happiness. Maybe there is a need for forgiveness and reconciliation. Maybe there is just need for time and space to feel what we feel, because this is a bittersweet holiday for many of us, and we want to hold that up. I want to invite Glenn to help us be connected to all the aspects of motherhood, beginning with the anticipated grief that comes with the diagnosis of Alzheimer's, when we feel we have lost our parents, even though they are still here with us.
Lloyd Schwartz is a poet. This is his poem about his late mother who had Alzheimer's disease. My mother is mad at the sun. She hates the daylight. One more new day in a nursing home, stuck in a wheelchair. She thinks she's been abandoned. In the background, a woman's nonstop wail. My mother can barely hear me on the phone. She doesn't know she's speaking to her son. I have to tell her she's speaking to her son. Oh, then I'm not alone. I have a son. Please don't forget that. How could I forget that? And you, who are you? Are we related? Of course. Are you my father? Don't you remember your father? Are you my brother? You are my mother. I'm your mother? Of course. Was I a good mother? You were. You are a wonderful mother. I'm glad you're my son. What's your name? You don't remember? I can't think of it. I'm all mixed up. Are we related? You're my mother. Did I ask you that before? You're my son, aren't you? You came out of my body. I'm your mother. Isn't that right? Isn't he handsome, even if he has a beard? I'm your mother. I'd love you no matter what you looked like, wouldn't I? Give me a little kiss, will you, huh? I'll give it right back to you. See, I know all the words. I probably won't remember them tomorrow.
Some of us in this congregation have already started that journey with our parents, whether it's diagnosed or just beginning to appear. We grieve at the sight of not being recognized. We chuckle sometimes because we're human. And to witness your parent forget who you are or think that you're someone else, it's both heartbreaking and just so human. So we embrace that, and we send healing vibes to the members of this congregation facing Alzheimer's, dementia in their families. We also open our hearts with compassion for those of us who were raised by parents with depression, who despite their best efforts, just could not be there 100% for us. And we felt a sense of loneliness and even abandonment. And sometimes we had to switch roles. We had to be the parent. This is from Marissa Svalstedt to my child from your mother with depression. Some days she may seem distant, others filled with joy. Sometimes she may be disinterested in playing with your toys. You may catch her crying, though she will assure you nothing's wrong. She doesn't want to worry you, and soon the tears are gone. One morning she may stay in bed, eyes red from lack of sleep. You may begin to understand her feelings run so deep. She loves you more than anything, often feels she's not enough, wanting only to give you the very best. But her battle's truly tough. She needs you to know it's never your fault when she's feeling down and wishes all of your memory of her to be of smiling and clowning around. It's hard to hide her illness from eyes that always see. She battles through her sadness. It's not how she wants to be. Focus on all the moments she kisses and hugs with all her might. See the love dancing in her eyes, the reason she fights this fight. She knows you deserve the best and wants to be your super mom. You'll understand better with age as the time moves on. For now, just know that when darkness comes and mom seems rather blue, it never has even the slightest bit to do with anything you do. Everyone has a wall to break, a mountain to climb. Inside, your mom is strong, not weak. For you, she'll always shine. Try not to worry about mommy, for she'll make it through. Because nothing will ever mean more to her than her eternal love for you.
What I Learned from My Mother by Julia Kastorf. I learned from my mother how to love the living, to have plenty of vases on hand in case you have to rush to the hospital with peonies cut from the lawn, black ants still stuck to the buds. I learned to save jars large enough to hold fruit salad for a whole grieving household, to cube home canned pears and peaches, to slice through maroon grape skins and flick out the sexual seed with a knife point. I learned to attend viewings, even if I didn't know the deceased, to press the moist hands of the living, to look in their eyes and offer sympathy, as though I understood loss even then. I learned that whatever we say means nothing. What anyone will remember is that we came. I learned to believe I had the power to ease awful pains materially, like an angel. Like a doctor, I learned to create from another's suffering my own usefulness. And once you know how to do this, you can never refuse. To every house you enter, you must offer healing. A chocolate cake you bake yourself, the blessing of your voice, your chaste touch.
Ah. the tissues when we need them. Deep breath. Holding all of the feelings, including those that may not even have a name. Holding the joy, holding the gratitude for the mothers, for the fathers, for the aunts and grandmothers, and cousins and sisters and neighbors and foster parents and step parents in this congregation that is a surrogate family for so many of us. May we hold all of our experiences, all of our mothers, all of the love and the grief, all of the feelings that surface gently or come crashing against our tender hearts. Here you are held. Here may you find compassion. Here may you experience unconditional love and feel the strength that we all need to make it through and thrive, not just survive. Here may you find a song to lift your spirits. Amen, and blessed be.